This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. I recently flew Delta, I want to say about a week ago now, and I was coming back home from being in Atlanta for a speaking engagement, and Delta just gave me such a wonderful experience. And it really was the icing on the cake of just such an amazing weekend that I had. Some of the things that I loved particularly about my Delta airline experience was, first, the amazing customer service. Everyone there was so kind, so welcoming, so present, so attentive. And a small thing but was big to me was just something simple as having headphones so that I can enjoy more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. I mean, my flight wasn't that long, but I got to catch up on a movie, some shows, just things I don't have time to do usually at home. I was able to enjoy that in the air. Delta also offers fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi, and it's available for SkyMiles members. Being able to access the Wi-Fi, I was able to order some groceries and just get a head start on my week. It was a great end to my experience and ushered me right back in to being home. So even if you're not home yet, Delta Airlines helps you feel a little bit like it. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This episode is coming out on time. Praise the Lord. Because last week we was definitely out super late. But I really am excited about today's episode because we have a special guest. This is his second time on this show. If you guys want to hear kind of like his personal story, you could go back and listen to, I don't remember the number, but the title of it was Let's Talk About Growth, where we talked about just his journey to being, from being a bum to being the man of God. But I just want to welcome
Thanks,
back.
Thanks, Tatum. Thank you. Grand introduction. But Thank you. Now it's a pleasure to
be I didn't even back. Introduce you, shush.
It's a pleasure to be back on the show.
I didn't introduce you yet. I would like to introduce, I promise y'all we not gonna play. He told me to don't be goofy once I hit record, and I definitely did the opposite. But anyway, I would like to introduce my boo, my husband, my future baby Zaddy, my best friend, all of those good things, my everything, my partner in crime. I can go on all day, but I want to introduce my boo, my CPA bae, my husband. Welcome hello, to the show, Tatum. B.
Thank you. Thank you again for bringing me on. Mm-hmm. And hello, listeners. Do honor this appearance on this trip, on this podcast.
On this what?
On this podcast.
Lord have
you
mercy.
You can edit that.
We're not on tour no more, boo.
Bet.
All right, get serious. So today we're going to be talking about financially preparing for 2020. And I think that this is a really important topic because one of the things I know when I've always been praying to God about just wealth, because it's a certain lifestyle that I personally want to live. It's a lifestyle that I want my children to live. It's things that I just want to do in this lifetime that requires wealth. I mean, I've been looking, like, for example, on social media this weekend, Tyler Perry had like his grand opening for his studios. And what's so dope about his studios is he doesn't have any corporate sponsors, no partners, no venture capitalists. It's all funded by him.
Own equity, own ownership.
Yeah, exactly. So having that type of control over, so that means can't nobody tell Tyler he can't create nothing. Can't nobody tell him what it is that he's going to do with his studio. And I think, well, not I think, but in order to have that type of power, you have to have money. And I know for me, especially doing things of God, I don't want anybody or any entity to be able to come in and tell me that I have to do something differently than what God called me to do. And for me, what only makes sense to me, or the only way to ensure that makes sense to me, is to make sure that I'm financially able to fund all of the things that God called me to do. And so one of the things that as I was praying about business and just
over the years, really praying about business, I was just like, God, wealth, wealth, wealth was always something I was praying about, always praying on Deuteronomy 8:18, where it talks about he gives us the power to create wealth. And one of the things that God has shared with me in my prayers about money is that wealth doesn't, it's not like something that you're going to go to sleep, wake up and be a millionaire. I mean, God could do all things, so that may happen. But if you want to build wealth, and if you want to build wealth that's sustainable, it comes from a series of making the right decisions, a series of doing things correctly. And we even last week or the other day talked about, I talked about how you sent me the message about the business going over the six-figure mark this year. And as I was talking about it on the show, I was like, it's so crazy. I wasn't really monitoring that. I was just praying and obeying, getting on my face, doing what God called me to do. And then eventually I look up and all of those yeses amounted to the goal that I done had since I got into entrepreneurship years ago. And so I believe it's the same concept when it comes to wealth and just building up our businesses financially. It's in the details. And I believe that you coming into my business, I remember I was praying and I was asking God, I was saying, like, God, I need help in my business. I'm not going to be able to reach the financial goals that I want to reach by myself. And then one of the things that he shared with me was, your biggest asset is in the house with you. Like, you have to get your husband involved in your business. And I know for me, for pretty much our whole relationship, it was like business was separate. Mm-hmm. We talked about business, but not, it was more so of like status updates. So like
one-sided convo.
Yeah, a one-sided conversation, because I knew everything. Right, exactly, pretty much. And so I was like, okay. And God was just saying to get you involved. And you would always ask me, like, how can I help? How can I help? Mm-hmm. But I guess that it was a pride thing. Like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm this independent woman. I'm about to build this thing. You know, whatever. It was definitely pride. But once God revealed that to me, I was like, okay. So then I talked to you about it. Of course, you was like, girl, I've been here waiting for you to like give me something to do. But I believe just from getting you involved, you've helped me so much as far as just making good decisions as far as my business is concerned. And so I wanted to do this episode so that we could be able to just talk about financially preparing our businesses, because it's that time of year. It's fourth quarter. Everybody's planning for 2020. And I just believe that planning financially is important, and also recognizing the mistakes that we're making now and that we've been making so we don't make them in 2020 is important as well. So one thing that we talked about prior to hitting record was we talked about having a financial vision. And I thought that was a really good point that you made, because it kind of eliminates us being the super consumer that I talked about a few episodes ago, where we just buying up everything and accumulating all these expenses because we don't have a clear vision of what it is that we're doing. So can you speak a little bit about having a financial vision?
Yeah, so the vision, you just want to, and this is a good time to have the conversation since we're going into the year. You want to develop your goals. You want to kind of identify all the things that you're going to be doing, different activities that's going to bring in resources, and kind of map it out throughout the year. Once you're able to do that, you figure out, okay, this is my set of goals. What kinds of things do I need to put in place? What kinds of investments do I need to make to ensure that these goals are met and maybe exceeded?
So how do people then come up with those goals? Because I think it's easy to say, oh, I want to be a millionaire, or I want to have a six-figure business. But if we at like making $1,000 a year, it's kind of a huge jump. So how can we make like some realistic goals that we could work towards?
Well, you mentioned about being prepared. You have to be prepared for your success. So you still have to look at your past performance and get an idea of what kinds of things you might have been able to expand on. Mm-hmm. What were some successes that you can, you know, put more into based on maybe conversations you've had with customers? What kinds of things are well received? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of focus on those. And that gives you the sense or structure or guidance towards where you want to go.
I think that's a good point. I hope you guys are taking notes. So the first step in coming up with this financial vision is to look at what's working in your business. And so, like Absolutely. He said, having these conversations with your customers, you can maybe offer them something like 15% off their next order if they have a brief, if they make a brief, take a brief survey or something like that. Paying attention to people's reviews and all of these different things, I think is going to be a really good start in figuring out what your financial goals are, or figuring out what those goals are, because you got to know what's working and what's not.
And, you know, I was thinking about just this morning, thinking about, you know, what I want to do moving forward. And a lot of it comes down to economics. If there's demand, you know, you can charge a certain amount for the demand because you know that it's something that consumers want.
Right.
And if there's a market for it, then use your skills and use what you can do best and incorporate other measures to give you advantages within the market as well. So, you know, if you can talk to people and get a real solid understanding about your market, your core followers, your in your case, your listeners, whoever, and get an understanding of what the what their demands are, then you move to meet those demands.
This episode is brought to you by Jenny Kane. Jenny Kane is a California lifestyle brand that inspires women to live well every day. From wardrobe essentials to all things that make a house a home, they create effortless staples without sacrificing style or comfort. They believe in simplicity, consistency, and building a personal uniform that lasts season after season. From their soft cashmere sweaters and iconic Italian-made mule slides to their ceramic dinnerware and cozy textile collection, these staples appeal to women who want classic pieces they can use to create a personal uniform, both in the design of their home and in the way that they dress each day. When it comes to my personal everyday attire, I like to be cute, but simple and comfortable. Jenny Kane sent me some items and I absolutely love the mules. They're super comfortable and they're perfect for fall. And they also sent me this really awesome candle that smells amazing. Like, if y'all are a candle lover, get you a Jenny Kane candle because it smells fantastic. Jenny Kane is offering our listeners 20% off your first purchase with Jenny Kane using code BLESSED. Go to jennykane.com. That's JenniKayne.com or any of their 7 store locations located across California, New York City, and Denver. Use offer code BLESSED for 20% off your order. That's offer code BLESSED for 20% off your order. Let's get back to the show. That's good. So, as they're having these conversations or looking into what's working in their business, not only looking at the feedback or what the customer thinks about their particular business, but also seeing what other demands will be there.
There you go.
I think that's good. Because I think that a lot of corporate industries do that really, really well. Like, Apple is really good at innovation. So they always are finding a way to innovate, like, me on this new laptop right now just realized that there's no USB port and I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
How do you get this show going?
Like, what?
Changing up the structures.
Like, crazy. But anyway, but yeah, asking your customers not only feedback for your business, but paying attention enough to see what that demand is. I think that's a good practice as we wind down the year because people are slowing down. People are...
It's a good time for planning. You have to make some time to plan around your business so that you're not always in the weeds. So it's a really good time. I think it's a good time for this podcast as well.
Good. Okay. So vision. That's the first step, y'all. Coming up with your financial vision. What's our financial vision for 2020? We ain't talking about it yet.
We're going to have that conversation in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Maybe I'll update y'all after that because I'm like, we ain't even talk about that yet. Okay.
Well, hey, cool.
You got the slide. You ain't send me no calendar invite, BJ.
I said we would do this show. This is a sidebar. All the listeners. I told her we would do this show after we had our conversation. Nope. She insisted, and here we are. We haven't had our conversation, and now she's complaining. I can't win. So here we are. All right. So
maybe we'll have a part 2.
That's fine. That's fine with me.
All right, compromise. Deal.
Our conversation will be a part two, so maybe there will be a part two to the podcast.
See?
So,
yeah. Compromise. There we go. Come on, give me some credit. All right, y'all. All right, so after they had their vision, I know one thing in my notes was I wanted to talk about stewardship because that's a biblical principle. You know, God, this is blessed and bossed up. So, yeah, we are building these businesses and we're trying to build and create wealth, but we also need to do it with the biblical foundation. And stewardship is a huge biblical principle. And I believe stewardship is something that's very important when it comes to finances, because we can't go into 2020 with the same lack of stewardship that we have right now. And I know when you came into the finances of my business, I had terrible stewardship. And I mean, we got to be real about this. It's a lot of people who talk about when it comes to building your business, all of these best practices. But most of the time, a lot of us don't really do it. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, my stuff was kind of all over the place and you came in and fixed it, but it was really all over the place. And so I wanted to talk
about wow.
What?
Go ahead.
You reminiscing?
I was just thinking, and yeah, it has come a long way in the past few months. So, yeah.
See, praise the Lord. I was tripping. I would have probably made six figures and I'd have never known it. Probably had no money in the bank because I'm just out here thinking I need to invest it or anything. But hey. Yeah. But anyway. What are some of those mistakes that I made or entrepreneurs make in general?
Yeah, so one of the main things that people talk about all the time are first, you know, when you make money and you start using the money from your business on your personal expenditure, you start paying your cable bill out of, you know, the earnings that you got from, you know, a book sale. Maybe you launched a book, made some sales, and now you're paying for meals. You're taking people out to dinner, all that type of stuff. So you have to really separate the money that you make from business and what you spend on yourself. Because when you look at it, I guess a good analogy is like a baby. If you have a baby and you have food that you're supposed to feed the baby, you could, you know, liken that to the money that you make from business activity. So if you have the food that you made or whatever, and you eat it all, there's nothing for the baby to grow. So you want to have some of the money that you made to pour back into your business because it needs to operate.
Right.
You need to fund different activities, whatever it is, you need to pour that energy back into business so it can grow. Because if you keep snatching away a lot of the goals that you think that you want to get to, you'll cut yourself short. Another thing I could think about, and this is not you directly, but you know, other people I work with, documentation. So we talk about stewardship.
Yeah.
If you go 3-4 months down the line, and then the question comes up about something that you did in January and it's July, but you don't have any documentation. Now you're just relying on your own memory.
Right.
But if you have your documentation in place, you set up folders for different bits of activity that you're going to go through within the year. You know, okay, I remember I got that receipt or I got an email confirmation. It had the number, it had the amount, had the date. Or I got a paper receipt and I took a picture and I emailed it to myself and then put it in that folder on my computer. I know exactly what it's related to. I know when it happened and I know how much. Those are like some of the main things that you want to record as far as your documentation.
So I heard receipts. What are some other things?
Invoices.
Okay.
Invoices, what else can I think? Those are the main things. Invoices, email receipts, confirmations, because sometimes you'll have the whole picture of what happened, like the date, the amount, the vendor, the service provider, whatever. They'll send you an email.
Yeah.
So there are different ways, but you just want to make sure that whatever it is, it has those things, the date, the amount, and what the purpose of it was for.
Okay.
You want to make sure that even if it's not explicitly there, let's say it's a receipt that you got at a business meal, a real business meal.
Right. Not us just going out on a date.
Right. It might have the name of the company. It might not. But you want to, if it doesn't say it explicitly, you might want to just write it on there before you take a picture and send it to yourself.
Okay.
For safekeeping.
Okay. Got you. So stewardship. And y'all, I like to recap. If y'all don't know, if you take a note. So stewardship, keep your documentation. So have your receipts. Keep your invoices. What about contracts? Contracts work for that
too. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Don't let me forget. I was thinking invoices, but contract, definitely.
Yeah.
You want to keep hold of the contract. So, again, you don't want to, get to a situation where you don't know what the other person is going to perform. They don't know what you're going to give in return. And then there's confusion. You want to keep that documentation. So if months go by, you say, that happened on this date for this purpose. I'm going to pull up the contract, and these are the terms that we agreed upon.
And then also, if like something comes up, if somebody tries to do like a chargeback or something, because the banks always side with the customer, they just going to take your money right out your account and then be like, well, you got to prove it to me in order to get your money back. So it's important for us to have this. And that happens a lot, especially with those of us who sell digital products. People will buy the product and then do a chargeback, and you'd be like, hold on, what? You got it, bro. Like, it's digital. You know what I mean? Or for anything. Like, I mean, you even think about how people go to the mall, they buy stuff, wear it, bring it back, or whatever. Like, there's always some type of hustle involved financially. So for you guys that's listening, if you don't have contracts in place in your business, you have to get that type of documentation, because you want to protect your baby. You have to protect yourself. And something else that you said was making sure that you have money to feed your baby. And I think that's something that when you came on, we kind of went through that transition period, because for so long I was used to just having enough in the business. Like, money will come in the business, and then I will have what I have for like my living expenses. But like, there wasn't a lot left over, especially when I had cut off my coaching program. It was like, okay, it's real skimp in these streets. But then once things started taking a turn and now I have more than enough, I was like, okay, I don't really know how to handle this now. Like, my baby is fat. My baby fat. So like, what do I do now? Like, how do I, like, what does that look like now? And one thing we talked about was putting me on a salary. And I believe that's something that for you guys that you should take a look at as well. Even when I was preparing to leave my job, one of the things that my business coach and I talked about was coming up with that survival number. And I think this is important for anybody who is trying to leave your 9-to-5 or just trying to be better with your finances in general. Coming up with that survival number. How much does it cost for you to live? And also, how much does it cost for your baby, your business, to survive? And that's how much you need to be making if you think you're about to leave your job. Your business need to be able to live, and you need to be able to live. And if you're not making enough for those two numbers, you need to stay at work. Now, my situation was different because God said go, so I had to be obedient and do that. And I was, you know, of course, he's a provider, so he provided for me. But me having that mentality, though, of like that survival number, then once I had more than enough, it was kind of like, okay, where do I go from here? And I think this is where you really have to make sure that you have an accountant. That was going to be a question that I asked you, but I'm answering it as I'm talking. I think a good point that you need to make sure that you're at, or a good indicator that it's really time for you to bring on an accountant, is once you get to that point where you need to come up with like your salary, where it's time to make financial decisions, if that makes sense. Because a lot of times people, I do believe you need an accountant from day one, but if we being real, everybody can't afford one.
Right.
I didn't have one from day one because I ain't have no money for that. Like, so for us to always be like, get an accountant from day one,
let's
be real. It's not, everybody's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, good point.
So, or it's time for you to make those decisions. You have to bring an accountant on. You have to bring somebody else on. Because if I was to be like, what's Tatum's salary? Tatum would be making way more than she make, okay? But now having you, like, okay, BJ, what do I need to, what's my salary? And then you looking at my business and saying, okay, this is what you can afford to pay yourself. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I think I could have gotten more than what I get paid right now. But I said, you know what? We about to go on tour. it's going to be expensive. This is a new venture. We don't know like what's going to come up. It might be super, you know, more expenses than we anticipate. So just in case.
And there were.
Because this tour was not no cheap tour. We didn't go to like no Motel 6s and do this. We was at like 4 or 5 star hotels in every city. Because I believe that you should have that level of experience when you're doing things for God. But nevertheless, I was like, okay, make my salary less so that the business has more for whatever may come up in each of these cities. And so we were able to do that. I mean, there were people we sponsored to come and things like that. We did a lot of giving during the tour as well. And so that was a decision I kind of like stepped in and was like, nah, babe, I need less money. But now I'm like, okay, BJ, we're not doing as many live events. Like, so when we have our meeting and we talk about my salary again, I got my case for it. I want more money.
So look, Friday was payday.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It felt good because I got a little bonus.
Okay. All right.
I got a little bonus. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, boo.
Thank Audio Boom.
Okay. Okay. Because that sponsor check came in and I said, oh, okay, that's what we doing.
There you go.
Yes, praise the Lord. All right, anyway, back to stewardship.
Amen, amen.
This episode is also brought to you by Zapier. As you guys know, one of my 2020 goals is to automate as much as possible in my business so that I'm spending my time on the things that yield the best return on investment. Also, as we're talking about finances, Zapier is so important for connecting everything in your business. When you're running your own business, your to-do list is never ending. You know you could automate many of the tasks that you do, but you don't necessarily know how. So that's where Zapier comes in. Zapier is the easiest way to automate your work. It connects all of your business software and handles the work for you so you can focus on the things that matter most. No more wasting your time on tasks that you know can be automated because that's what Zapier was built to do. Just go to our special link, zapier.com/blessed, connect the apps you use most, and let Zapier take it from there. Zapier.com/blessed. Join more than 4.5 million people who are saving an average of 40 hours per month by using Zapier. Right now through November, try Zapier for free by going to our special link, zapier.com/blessed. That's Zapier.com/blessed for your 14-day free trial. Zapier.com/blessed. Let's get back to the show.
Back to stewardship. So yeah, having an account and making sure we have those receipts and making sure that we have different documentation. What are some softwares and stuff that people could use? Because like I said, a lot of us are in the beginning doing a lot of this stuff ourselves.
That's a good point. And I know Tatum was mentioned before that I'm very frugal when it comes to certain things.
Oh, frugal,
so
that's cute.
There you have. There you have
cheap.
Softwares like QuickBooks is what comes to mind when you think about accounting and, I guess, popularity.
Yeah.
One thing I use is Wave, WAVE.com.
Trip too hard, don't think
so. Okay. And so Wave, let me just make sure I have Wave apps, actually. So Tatum can put it in the show notes if anybody's interested. Wave is an accounting system similar to QuickBooks, has its own unique features. And I find it, you know, there's some things that you get adjusted to, but it's a nuance with a different system. And once you get adjusted, it behaves like any other system, any other accounting software that, you know, you would use for a small business. So I think it's a pretty good one. It's free. There are other ones that I've looked into. I haven't jumped ship yet because, you know, I'm still putting this to use and I don't want to be all over the place testing different apps when I don't necessarily have the need at the moment. But yeah, that's Wave Apps is a good, good platform to use. They have the features that you can use on your phone where you can, you know, take pictures of your expenses.
Like receipts and stuff?
Yeah, okay. Different things like that. And it kind of syncs into the system overall.
Oh,
I think
cool.
There's a revenue application as well. They're two separate revenue and expense applications, but they sync to the same system.
Okay.
There's a feature that syncs right with PayPal. Oh, wow. Even though that's a whole nother podcast.
Right.
But yeah, it has a lot of good features and I find it very helpful. I find that I'm not missing a beat, even though it's free. And I think that you can upgrade to have like a professional accountant or CPA, you know, kind of manage it for you. Of course, I don't do that. You can also upgrade to have 24/7
technical support.
Yeah, exactly. Technical support. So, yeah, things like that.
Another one that I used before prior to you was FreshBooks. FreshBooks was similar to QuickBooks. They're competitors. So similar. So those are some options for you guys who are in the beginning stages and managing some things by yourself, FreshBooks, QuickBooks, and then Wave. Another thing that came to mind about just being a good steward over your finances is, and Raven talked about this when she was on the show, is constantly evaluating your expenses. And I know that a conversation that we've had is about PayPal, and we've been in talks of like switching to a new payment processor just because as we're evaluating a bunch of different things and the efficiency, the fees and all of these things, like, is this really working for the business? Is there something that's better that we could find? And so that's a conversation that we've been having, but just constantly looking at your expenses. And I know you was even like, hey, why are you paying, Wix? It's like, why are you paying Wix so much money every month? And I'm like, I got like all these websites operating at one time, but it reminded me to go back and be like, okay, which one of these can I delete?
Or you can consolidate some of them.
Yeah, I can. That's something I need to do. So we haven't had our meeting yet, y'all. But that's something that I can do. But yeah, stuff like that. Even your emails. How many emails do you have? Can you eliminate in some of those emails or maybe consolidate them as well so you're not spending unnecessary money? Because that little $5 and $10 here and there, like, that stuff adds up really, really quickly. So something else that you guys should really be doing right now is going back over all of your expenses, everything that you're spending money on monthly, and getting rid of the stuff. And some stuff you could pause. Like, there's a software that I got that I was so mad I forgot to cancel it. But I was going to use it for a webinar I was doing for podcasting, but I pushed it back because I was a bit overwhelmed with everything. But I could have just canceled that until I was ready. You know, I ended up paying an extra $100 because I forgot. So also making sure that you're having that time in where you're evaluating these things. And if something got to get put on pause because you're not using it for the next 6 months for whatever reason, then cancel it for 6 months and then get it later. Now you just saved yourself some money over that 6 month time period, as opposed to just being like, oh, it's cool because I'm gonna need to use it later. Oh, cancel that drink right now and save the money. So yeah, you guys, being a good steward is important.
Also, like when we talk about storing documentation, you could be simple and use Google Drive. You could go on your Google Drive, create folders for different expense items, drop them in there. They have that feature where you don't have to share it with others unless you choose to share it with other people. And I think people that have Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, it's called OneDrive, and it works the same way as Google Drive. So use your email and the storage that the email provides you to store your own documentation. And it's always there. It's free. Mm-hmm. And just put it in and keep moving.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I love Google Drive. I never thought about using it for like accounting stuff. I use it more so like,
it's a layman's way. You can do it. A lot of organizations.
And it's usually free you get to a certain storage level. Then it's maybe like $2 a month.
I think Microsoft, the Outlook version of email would be an upgrade from Google. I know it was a lot better features, but it's like a layman's way to store your information. I know a lot of businesses that do it. So
another thing we talked about too was the importance of like separating your personal, like you were saying earlier, from your business. And I wanted to emphasize that point, that if you guys do not have a business account, open up an account for your business. I know like ours is with Wells Fargo, and with Wells Fargo, it's like cost $25 to open up the account. I've had it since 2015. It's only $25 to open up the account. So I just took $25 that I had and opened up the account. If you keep a certain amount in there, you don't have any fees. So if you're able to, then keep a certain amount of money in there. Or let's say if, I don't know what it is, what the amount is, but let's say if it's $100 and they say that you need to keep $100 or we're going to charge you a $15 fee. If you have $100, put $100 into that account and just leave it there. And so that way now you have your business account, you have your stuff separated, and you don't have to worry about paying, like you said, paying your phone bill with your business account. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that point was emphasized. Separate your stuff. Do not go into the new year with your stuff still together. Separate it. Because let's talk, let's actually segue into tax time. Because when your stuff not separated, like, I know when we were doing our taxes, because this year was the first year we were married doing taxes. And he's shaking his head, y'all. So, like, we did taxes for 2018 together. On April 14th, because y'all know we got married in 2018. So, we filed married taxes for 2018. So, like, BJ asked me all these questions, and I'm like, I don't know.
Send me colorful emails. Has this item and some number. Like, where's the stuff coming from, man?
Yeah, so he was asking, like, well, what was your expenses? What was this? So I was kind of going off of memory, like you said. I'm going off memory, like, okay, I know I pay for my websites every month, so let me add that up. And my emails, let me add that up. And I have this software, let me add that up. So I was really going off of memory when it came to that stuff. And yeah, that's just...
I started remembering more things than she did, man, towards the end of the night. And then Tatum here goes to sleep. I'm still filing taxes. I'm still got questions to ask. She's over it.
So I was through, okay? I was like, good riddance.
Keep documents, people.
But keep records. Moral of the story is that I'm being open about my foolishness because it's real. And a lot of us do that. But it's so important that we get our stuff together and we make sure that we have our documentations. Now, when we go to do 2019 taxes, now that I have you on board, it's easy. All of my stuff is in.
Look right on Wave. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of, on your 1099 tax form, you'll see a lot of the different tax items. You're going to have those already available. The amounts are going to be ready, mm-hmm, you know, month to month. So annual amounts are going to be available for the whole 2019. And it's simple. It's a lot simpler. It's a lot less, you know, relying on your memory. It's a lot, mm-hmm, less that you forget because, mm-hmm, there were some expenses that we didn't include. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot easier.
Even now that I'm thinking about it, for those of you guys who are at that place where you're doing a lot of this stuff yourself, it's even more important for you to keep this stuff up. So once you go to hire that accountant, you have all of your ducks in a row.
Yes. And you might even, if you had, depending on your relationship with your accountant, you might be able to reduce the cost or the charge that they would charge you if, mm-hmm, you have all your stuff, to where they don't have to spend time sorting it out. Mm-hmm. So that's another
good thing. What I was going to say. That's a money saver right there. That's a hack right, yeah, there for saving money. Yeah. Keep your documents in order. That's stuff that we can do. Mm-hmm. And that's stuff we need to do anyway, because you need to know the financial state of your business at all times. Mm-hmm. You need to know, like, oh my gosh, I'm one whatever away from not having a business. Like, these are things that we have to know. But yeah, that money hack is have your stuff in order, so when you go to an accountant, it's easy for them, which means it's cheaper for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we kept it pretty simple. Is there anything else you think people need to do to prepare for 2020 before our part two of this after we have our meeting?
Preparation is key. I want to turn the table on you a little bit. So,
After I thought this was my show.
It is. It still is. All right,
go ahead.
So after, you know, you found out that you had some really good success this year.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was a really heavy load?
No.
Yeah, because I'm just saying that because preparation is key. So yeah, you don't just wake up overnight and you think that you're going to reach this financial goal, mm-hmm, unless you're ready. Mm-hmm. And then when you are ready, it kind of happens without you necessarily knowing, mm-hmm, and also with a lot less of the effort and energy waste or energy use that you thought you might have to go through. You kind of went through your routine, you went through your progressions, and then you kind of see this abundance, a mess. So
yeah, I thought making six figures was a lot harder than it is. It's really not that hard. And I think one thing that I've learned is the importance of diversifying your revenue streams, because when we look at the tour budget or the tour finances, the tour was successful. But one thing I wasn't used to was how the expenses, because I'm used to doing so many things online, and to where when you do a lot of things digitally, that overhead is very low. So we got this tour, we're paying for four people to travel across the country. That's hotels, that's flights, that's the rooms, that's the AV cost that's separate from the room charge for the venue. Then you got food and beverage minimums for some places. Then you have food and things while you're there for when you eat and dinners and stuff while you're there. All of these different things cost. Ubers to and from the airport, all of this. Rental cars. We had a rental car in where, Atlanta?
Yep.
Yep. Rental cars.
I left it running too. That was crazy. I left it running during the whole event and never realized it.
If we would have had to buy a car, you would have had to square up. Like, we had to replace that rental running, car.
Wasn't paying any attention. Yeah, I was doing the AV.
Yeah, you were doing a lot.
Putting supplies up. And I was like, hold on. I never parked the car. Never took the keys out.
You win. That's why in DC, I was like, okay, BJ needs an assistant. so we need an extra volunteer because BJ need help. But yeah, it was a lot of expenses. But then what really was awesome was having all of these other revenue streams that were not expense heavy. So we looking at, like, talked about Audioboom. So when those advertising coins hit, oh, this is beautiful, because it ain't no money. It's no expense attached to this aside from what we do, what we use, or what we pay to do any other podcast. Yep. So now we got all of this money coming in that doesn't have to go out anywhere.
Amen.
So really diversifying your revenue streams, you guys, is important, and knowing where the bulk of your money come from. And so for me, what I've learned, though, is with live events, there's a different, this is because these were my first live events. Even though it was very expense heavy, it was a quality to it that I think that I would want to just continue to do, because in today's climate, there are a lot of people who rely heavily on digital stuff. And especially when it comes to the podcast, it's a lot of audio and you're listening to me, but it was something special about being able to meet people in person and hear their stories and have breakfast with the VIPs, and for them to know, like, hey, I'm just a regular person, and to just talk to them, like, you know, get to know them like we was friends. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's something special. So now for me, going into 2020, what I learned is live events are very profitable. Even like when we look at the retreats, because the retreat and the tour are different types of events. The retreat is a very profitable event that's less costly than the tour. So looking at that, it's automatic. Like, oh, bet next year we're doing more retreats because it's a huge profit margin, even though it's still a live event. But then looking at the tour, it's like, okay, this one's more intimate. It is more costly. So yes, I want to still do something in this capacity next year, but we're going to have to adjust it a little bit in order to be able to accommodate that top heaviness. Or I may offer something else that's strictly digital that'll help subside some of those costs, or I'll get a sponsor and they'll pay for it. But just, this is a part of kind of looking at what worked and what didn't work. And it's not always just about the money, though. That's why I wanted to use the tour as an example, because the tour, while it was great, it was profitable. It wasn't profitable to the amount of, like, I would like it, something to be. So, but looking at it, like I said, just how the non-monetary benefits of it, I would definitely do it again. Mm-hmm. But now it's just time to prepare in a different way to be able to subside or offset a lot of those costs. And also looking at the things we did spend money on and saying, like, okay, what can we chop down? Because I know, like, the first in Dallas, it was four of us, me, you, Kavaya, and Jessica, our planner. Atlanta, Jessica couldn't come, and so we had like an on-site person. What was after Atlanta? Chicago. I said, yo, Jess, you gotta stay home. Like, because I was like, look, I think we could handle it. Like, we've done this twice. I'm trying to save money on your flight in your room. So do you mind staying home? She was like, no problem. She stayed home. DC, of course, it was cheaper because nobody was traveling for real. But being able to just look and make those adjustments, and then we'll go into in our meeting more detail about
definitely
all of the costs, so we know next year if we do a tour or the way that we'll do the tour, what would make more sense. But I'm glad we had this money conversation, because I just think it's important to talk about. And I think it's important to say, like, especially making that or revealing that we reached our six-figure goal, being able to say, like, yeah, y'all, we reached this goal. We crossed this threshold that I'm so excited about. And it wasn't hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was not hard at all.
The year isn't over.
The year is not over, because we still got stuff to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we got two retreats coming up. The year is not over. I think we're going to end off the year really well, though.
Yep.
But it's important to say it's not hard, and it just came from preparation and just correcting mistakes and being consistent with that. Correcting mistakes for me meant bringing in a CPA, which thank God is my husband and somebody that I trust. So now you could go into the business and you could tell me what to do, and then me making better decisions based on your professional advice. So
sure.
I thought it was really, really important to say that. And then even with the business, we're able to look at your stuff and be like, okay, boo, you ain't finna be working too much longer now. So
it's another podcast.
That's another podcast. Because we do need to talk about just the conversations we've had about you leaving your job.
Yeah.
That would be a really good show. Mm-hmm. Because we had to look at a lot of stuff, retirement, health insurance.
Sure. Yeah,
all of these different things to prepare, because we grown now. Like, we ain't like no little early 20s that...
Well, guys, looks like I'll be back.
You might be back to talk about that, because that's real. I went through, you know, me leaving my job, but more so like we were in a relationship, but we weren't married. So like we talked about it, but I still could do what I want. But then now being married, and now we have one person who has a full time, and then one person who's self-employed, and now you're moving into entrepreneurship and to the self-employment thing. So it's like, okay, well, what does that conversation look like? I think people really, married couples and people in general really benefit from that.
I
so
agree.
We'll definitely have you back to talk about that. So of course we're coming up on time, but before we go, tell everybody about this freebie that you put together.
Yes, I don't want to take up too much of anybody's time, but you know, one thing that I wanted to kind of talk about, a few things I wanted to talk about today were, you know, when you do actually engage with an accountant, it's really good for you to understand what you really want. You know, some people, they might want their financial statements to be prepared. You might want to deep dive into the financial health of your business. You might just want audit. You might want taxes to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's important first to understand what you want from an accountant. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you want to understand accounting overall.
And the financial state of your business.
Yeah. And okay. So you want to understand how accounting relates to your business.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a better way to put it. So I put together a document, and it's a spreadsheet. It has some automatic calculations. Really, it takes you through the progression of KPIs, key performance indicators. So I think that, again, this is a good time to have this podcast,
mm-hmm.
because it's a good time to think about the year coming up. So when you think about a key performance indicator, it tells you how you're matching up against goals that you've set.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a comparison. And I know one of the most common comparisons that you have are return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ratio, but it serves as a KPI, serves mm-hmm. as something that you use to measure up against your performance. So this document that I have has a tab where you actually set annual sales projections. That way you identify before the year comes up, what sales do I want to achieve throughout the year, from mm-hmm. January through December, Q1 through Q4, item number one, item number five, what am I expecting to get?
Mm-hmm.
So that way throughout the year, you have a reference point to compare your actual results to what you had the vision for initially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one tab. So then it also takes you down the line. Once you develop the sales projections, you have to figure out what you're going to pour into your business to achieve that goal, to achieve those goals. You have to have some kind of activity, and those activities usually come with cost.
Right.
So when you set, when you identify all the different amounts of cost, like your rent, maybe you have a space that you use, and what kind of business can you think of that's common among,
let's say, like a therapy practice, now that we're talking about space.
Okay.
So a therapy practice, let's say I want to have 50 clients in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about space. So now how much was that office space going to cost?
So you think about some of the expenses that you're going to incur to get the 50 clients. You want to have a space where they feel free and safe to communicate with you. So that's going to be your own space. That comes with a cost.
Right.
You're going to have some kind of system where you track your appointments. Even if it's a website, as simple as a website, that comes with a cost. So those are the types of things that you need to operate. So when you identify all those things that you need to invest, you match that up with your sales projection, you've created an operating budget.
Okay.
So this operating budget that you develop before the year actually turns to January 1st, it gives you, again, something to compare against. And now you identify the things that you need to do, the activities that you need to engage to reach these goals. Mm-hmm. And you also set a limit for yourself as far as other expenses. So when you identify what your operating budget should be, when it comes time to actually doing things, you don't exceed the expense budget that you set, or you don't start buying new items that you didn't think that you needed in the first place before actually evaluating how these are going to help you get to your goals.
I think that's really good. And I think that goes back to stewardship too, even as you're doing this operating budget. So the document he has, you guys, is a Excel spreadsheet. It's auto-populated. So you literally, all the little formulas and things are already in there. So all you got to do is put, let's say I want to sell, using small numbers, I want to have 50 clients. You put 50 in there. You put how much each of those people cost. Let's say if you want to have 50 sessions, I don't know. And each session costs $100.
Or you might have different sessions and you say session gold, session platinum.
You could populate that into the spreadsheet, and then it'll tell you your operating budget. So all of this stuff, this formulas and everything are pre-populated. So all you got to do is pop it in. But to your point, though, this, now that you have this vision, because we started off by talking about vision, you're able then to use this to determine where, when you're off track. Because I think once we get through the year, after we get to the top of the year and things calm down, we get into like Q2 a little bit, then it's easy to get off track to what you said your vision was. So having this operating budget is important, because if I said that my main focus for 2020, my vision is to have this amount of clients. Now, if I'm out here creating online courses, yeah, that's going to make me a couple of dollars. But is this investment then to do this taking away from what I said that I was going to do? Or am I spending money unnecessarily on this, to where if I would have just taken the time and the money I'm spending on doing this thing that made sense in my head and apply it on the thing that I said I was going to do, now I can increase the revenue that I made for that year. So just this operating budget, you guys, is really important, because not only is it going to dictate or help you have a framework for where you're going to spend your money on and have an idea of what it takes to make what it is you say that you want to make in 2020, but it also is a good document to hold you accountable. But how often, though, babe, after they do this, should they revisit it?
Okay. So, I'll just start from where I left off. So after you have your operating budget together, it gives you the basis for your accounting system.
Yeah.
And we laughed about this before the show. It gives you the different categories of expenses, revenue that you're going to look to utilize throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So let's say if you look at stuff on a quarterly basis, if you see that the categories that you outlined at the beginning of the year, let's say the expense categories continue to increase, you keep on increasing new expenses that you didn't plan for, mm-hmm. that's an indicator that, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong if I'm adding these different types and categories of expenses and I'm not adding the same number of revenue types and categories. Mm-hmm. That could be an indicator that you need to, you know, look back at what you're doing, take a look at your processes and see what's going on. But, you know, once you derive these categories, I would say that you want to, you know, start populating the actual numbers on a weekly basis, at least. That would be a great idea. You start populating on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And then the way that this spreadsheet is broken down, it shows you on a monthly, quarterly, and annual. So once you get enough information to where you have your total amounts mm-hmm. for the month, you can start there and start looking, okay, you know, I plan to make $100 this month. Well, let's do it big. I plan to make $5,000 this month for this item and another $7,000 for this other item. And then the month goes through and you start punching in all the numbers. Mm-hmm. When you compare, you know, you're able to see, all right, January's over. What do I need to do for February and March so that my Q1 is met? So yeah. it gives you that kind of perspective.
Would it be good to use this document too for, I know we're using it to plan for the new year, but would it be good to kind of use it with this year's numbers to help you see like what's realistic for you? So if I'm using it, let's say for my passive income streams and I do God is My CEO journal, Blessed and Bossed Up book, I put in what I made from each every month. Yeah, so now when I'm doing it to plan for 2020, yeah. I can say, okay, I put in this amount of effort to make this amount of money. Now I'm going to actually project that I'm going to make, let's say 20% more. But now I need to, like you said, put in my cost. What's 20% more as far as cost goes to make 20%? So I think in addition to using this document for your 2020 planning, use it for what you did this year too. So you could get a side by side, because
that's how we started the podcast. It's a good use your historical performance as another baseline to set your vision, mm-hmm. because that tells you the truth about your business up to that point. And then once you kind of refine all that information into what do I want to do next year? Mm-hmm. Once you refine all that information, that's when you can start thinking forward. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to promote this? If I need to improve my marketing.
Spend some money on ads or something like that.
That type of thing. Mm-hmm. So once you refine what you've done up to this point, you definitely want to use that. You don't want to just start from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a good starting point.
Okay. Cool. Well, babe, thank you so much for being on the show. You guys, this document that we were discussing, it's available. It's free. The link is in the show notes for you to download it.
It's probably going to be titled Business Budget and COA.
We're going to change that title. I'm telling y'all right now, it's going to be called something else. So the link to it, whatever it's going to be called, is in the show notes so that you guys could download it and start using that. If they have any questions or anything, are you available to answer questions?
I will share my contact information in the show notes. And anybody, feel free to send me a question if you have something general, something specific, and we'll see how to help you out.
Okay, awesome. Y'all, make sure you're asking accounting questions, okay? I don't want no smoke.
Shaking my head.
Trying to holler at my husband, okay?
Shaking my head.
But yeah, that wraps up another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.